Do you have a favorite Bible passage?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's in Philippians.
You've lived to 91?
Mm-hmm. I'll be 92 in December.
To what do you give credit for such a long life?
Walking, exercise, running. When I could run, I ran. I ran around rigs in Africa and South America. The pushers all thought it was cute. I was out there running around because you couldn't get out in the jungle. There's never been a time that I wasn't exercising physically.
But Wanda came along and you enjoyed running.
Yeah, she...
Yeah, I joined him when I was 50 after the children grew up.
She taught at Oral Roberts.
Wishard, you were the runner to begin with, and then you actually joined him.
I joined him.
And so you valued exercise early on.
You've got to keep moving. Death is the cessation of motion, so you can tell just how close you are. You've got to keep moving. The whole church knows that's my motto. Hey, we got those old people out there trying to walk.
But you've encouraged a lot in your run, the Wish Lemons run.
That's why they named it after me, because I was a legend running.
This was the group in our church who were really into missions. When we had our lay witness mission, we did not have any missionaries on the field. And the people who came said, oh, if this church ever gets involved in missions, watch out. Well, then that happened. One of the groups, the builders group, wanted to make money, and they were tired of doing silent auctions and garage sales. And someone in the group said, well, why don't we do a run? They're popular. And we could name it after somebody in our church. We could name it after Wishard Lemons, for instance. So the class took that and ran with it. And it was a secret. I knew it for 6 months before you did.
When we came to Tulsa, Charlie Thornton, who was chairman of Reading and Bates, gave us both, Bill and I, memberships in the YMCA.
Well, he was building the Thornton YMCA.
Thornton YMCA. Yeah, I got all the preachers involved.
Except Joseph. He's going to run this year.
Yeah, he weighs about 350.
We have special shirts made for him that he can fit into. He's lost about 75 pounds.
That's great.
He's probably one of the best baritones in the United States.
Well, John knows him. John used to narrate from our pulpit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Joseph Bias. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw him last Sunday. Lost a lot of weight.
It takes a lot of weight to lose before it begins to be noticeable.
Well, it's noticeable
it
now.
It is now.
It's noticeable now.
I'm telling you. He sang the song, The Love of God, again. And you forget what power that voice has. He got a standing ovation.
Yeah. He does.
It was just beautiful. Yeah.
He's something else. He has a beautiful ministry. But, you know, Don Ford was more of a people's ministry like you.
Yeah, Don and I worked together.
Joseph has a special ministry, and it usually relates to music.
Right.
Well, yeah.
How would you like to be remembered?
You got to keep moving.
Is there favorite hymns or gospel songs that you've enjoyed the most?
Oh, yeah.
Are
You Able?
Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness. And Are You Able?
Trust and Obey.
Mm-hmm. And when we all get to heaven, we'll be great and glorious and we'll be.
Unfortunately.
When we all see Jesus, we'll
sing and shout the victory.
I have no memory.
Wish his dad had all the musical ability, and unfortunately, but the times were hard.
I don't have any musical
ability. Well, you would have had you been trained at the right time.
I had a real good voice, but it's gradually fading out on me.
Wishard, you didn't tell John about your burial at sea.
Burial at sea?
A guy came from one of the big companies. Said, Wish, I understand you travel the world with all these rigs. Said, my uncle or somebody wanted to be buried at sea, and I can't get anybody to do it. And I wondered if you could take his ashes with you on your next trip. And when you're at sea, just kind of back up to the rail and drop them over the side. Don't get any attention about it or anything. I said, well, yeah, I'll do it. It was a little thing about that day. Yeah, I got out there, and captain of the ship, and I got acquainted real quick. Angelo Tumiaski. He had all kinds of weird adventures he loved to tell me, and I ate with him 3 times a day. We went across the Gulf to a place over there and unloaded them. Finally, I realized I'd do something with these ashes. There were only about 4 people on the ship that talked English. The rest of them were Italians. His father and grandfather had been sea captains. I told him that I had these ashes and that I wondered if I could just drop them over the side. He said, we'll do better than that. By George, we'll do a ceremony They can't understand you, but they'll know what you're doing because I'll tell them. We'll make a circle over a certain point where we drop them off, and then I'll give you a certificate, a burial at sea, to take back to that fellow. And you know what? I stood up there and shook hands with all these guys if they could get away from duties. And I preached a sermon. Only a few of them ever understood a word I said.
But they knew the spirit.
That they knew what I was doing. And he actually did to go 360 degrees. That tanker loaded with oil. I don't know what the company would ever think about something.
Well, he was the captain, and he made the decision.
Yeah, well, he was boss. He could do anything he wanted.
It was a real beautiful ceremony.
He gave me a little cabin with a refrigerator that was loaded with beer and liquor.
You were treated like a celebrity.
Oh, man, they treated me like a king. And I ate two times usually at the big meals. I'd eat with the officers and then go downstairs and eat with the men.
Also, you haven't talked much about your baptismal service. Were you baptized 3,000 people?
Oh, well, yeah, Sumatra. We had a Methodist bishop down there, and they were going to have a big baptismal. And we had to drive from the main seaport out into the jungle to it. There must have been 2,000 or 3,000 people there. And many of them had been talked to by the minister who was over them and talked their language, and they were ready to be baptized.
They had walked for 3,000 days to get,
yeah,
to
get there.
Center point.
We didn't do it in a building. It was all outside. There was so many people. He had about 40 ministers. We all had a cloth. And
you were all trained.
And thing to wipe the dishes with that they drank out of. We had that evangelist, and I can't think of his name, but the Methodist evangelist worldwide. He preached to them in their language. Then we just went among them. And for the first time, baptism became significant to me in a real way. Things happened out there as we were baptizing many people. It's awesome. I never baptized that many people in my whole life.
You wore the little sarong,
yeah,
with the cords.
So they knew who I was, you know.
And he was twice as big as
anybody. Yeah.
So each one you baptized?
3,000 people that day.
All day long?
All day long. All day long.
Obviously very emotional. You're teared up now talking about that, think that all those lives.
Yeah.
There were 40 ministers, and I could see a big, flat
leg. And pigs and dogs ran
animals
between our legs and all that was going on all the time.
You just stood there, and the people just kind of swarmed around you.
Yeah.
Until he could reach them.
And, they brought with them little pieces of paper to prove that they were ready for baptism by their minister. Had his name on.
And they take that back to their local village with Wishard's initial on it, or signature, or whatever.
So God used you, but then he had also used all these
other people,
ministers out there.
And it made a difference in those people. You know, I've had a lot of baptisms with these people just baptized, and that's all there is to it. But heck, this thing was emotional. Yeah.
I remember you were very moved with that experience.
You're going to see a lot of these people in heaven, aren't you?
Oh, boy. Woo. Yeah.
We were in Nairobi on a trip. Everywhere we went, we were asked about
Osborne, T.L. Osborne.
T.L. Osborne.
Hey, man, that guy brought more people to Christ than anybody else in the world. In Africa, he had thousands. You know where all this growth of Christianity is in Africa and South America? He's mainly responsible for that.
He only ministers there. He doesn't minister here.
In the United States.
Those people think he's God. We were sitting on a bench waiting for a plane to come, and we were swarmed with people who saw we were of the white face to say, "You're from the USA. Do you know T.L. Osborne?"
Oh, yeah.
We were asked that many, many times while we were in Africa.
And he had healing services.
When we came home,
he preached, teach, and heal.
When we came home, we got in our car and we went down World Evangelism.
And he brought these artifacts back from overseas, and so the big boys decided he wasn't paying taxes on it or something or other. So they brought up a case against him. Warren Holdren and I went down.
And Warren both went down to testify for him.
Gave him hell. Leave that guy alone, those things. He's just giving them away. It's just part of his ministry.
T.L. and Daisy.
Yeah, T.L. and Daisy.
Now that building's being moved for the highway.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Your sermons, do you write them out ahead of time?
Oh, yeah. I don't ad-lib anything.
But then you don't read them, do you, from the pulpit?
I read them with such power and stuff, it's not...
It doesn't appear.
He's not a verbatim preacher, so he won't get into tributaries and be one of these long-winded, never-ending preachers. He tries to limit.
People would stop me on the streets of Fairbanks and say, "Are you the preacher, old Bull Likes?" Bull opened doors for me no one else could. I complimented his table manners. Isn't that what Almighty God did when he wanted to communicate with and influence you and me? He didn't communicate with human beings by a show of strength or power, which you could have easily done. He came as the most helpless being on the face of the earth, a human infant. He gave his attention. He lifted his wee arms to us. He needed us. He appreciated us, telling us that we were eternal beings created in the image of Almighty God and destined for life eternal. He finally lifted his arms up on the cross. Just think, you have the attention and appreciation of Almighty God as you go about your service to humanity. Remember, the greatest gift you can give anybody is your attention. Second, if you really want to influence the behavior of anyone, find a way to look up to them, to appreciate them.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you so much, both of you.